All right. So welcome everyone back to Dissecting Popular IT Nerds, which is, there's a big secret. There's this big secret thing going on right now. I can't tell anyone until September or something. People are under NDA, all that type of stuff. It's going to be so much cooler than Dissecting Popular IT Nerds. For years, we are just dissecting. All I can say is for years, we were just dissecting. The name of the show, Dissecting Popular IT Nerds, is of course, a ridiculously long domain name. What's your email? phil@dissectingpopularitnerds.com. Everyone laughs at it. It's a joke. But the whole reason that the whole way that we became this podcast is because one day we just decided, hey, why don't we talk to the people that really matter? The IT people, who are they? Well, they were kind of nerdy back in the day. They're really cool. They knew a lot of stuff. So, okay. But they're popular now because they sit at the C-suite. And, okay, so they're like popular, they're IT, they're nerds. What are we going to, we got to figure out how they got popular and how they weren't lame anymore. We got to dissect them. So, okay, this week we're going to do a show called Dissecting Popular IT Nerds. And everyone liked that. And now we're at 360 episodes. So we are going to be migrating away from, we no longer dissecting. We now know we are being, right? We're being now. And it's going to be really exciting. It's a big, exciting reveal. I'm just letting you guys know that because it's pretty awesome. And today, we have our first not allowed in the community, but can present to the community vendor. And I really hope some other people jump on so that they can ask, like try and stump the vendor type of thing. But AirSpring and my two favorite people at AirSpring are on the live, whatever, we don't want to call it call podcast right now. Mr. Jeffrey Armstrong and Clinton Devereaux. I got to do that right.
That's me.
And yeah, but he's like from one of the coolest places in the world, which is Boston or Cambridge or something like that. Are you wicked mothers?
Yeah, I'm from Boston.
Yeah, guy. You were talking about something about like Bell Biv DeVoe or something back in the day when I wasn't cool, but they're all from like your hometown.
Yeah, Boston, right? Tom Stoltz and crew, right? Brad Delt, remember them? More Than a Feeling, right? Boston has a brand new... Absolutely, man.
Oh, got a lot of fun talking about the old days.
Yeah.
So you guys aren't the new kids on the block.
Absolutely, you know? Not.
Mackie Mack. My brother was like, I gave him a ride in the helicopter once. My brother's a fire chief in town, so he had to give Marco Mickey a helicopter ride or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
That was his.
Talk about guys like you know, like Mark Wahlberg and a lot of those guys, Ben Affleck, those are all Boston guys, man. And the Wahlbergs, I actually went to school. I went to high school with those guys. I think the center and I remember those guys. They weren't the nicest people.
Bunch of losers. Now you're just all popular on TV. I can imagine they weren't that nice. I don't care about funky bunch anyways.
Care. You're just another boy in the boat, man. I tell you.
I think you're echoing a little bit. I don't know if you can get a little bit closer to the microphone just so that everyone can really experience the beauty of you.
Let me try this.
Here we go.
Try this.
Oh, yeah. It's much better. Much better.
Oh,
and I haven't they're probably going to edit out all that other part anyways. This is too much fun. You and I should just do a show every day. This is how every vendor sales call should go for you guys. Just bring me in and we'll do it this way. Like, hey guys, you can come, you can buy from us, but only if you're on Phil Howard's podcast. Okay. So today we're supposed to be talking about rethinking ISP strategy, what smart IT leaders are doing differently, which leaves the rest of them dumb IT leaders. And we don't want anyone that's listening to this to be a dumb IT leader. And we're really not saying that. We're not insulting anyone. But what we're saying is that there is a better way to manage your internet service providers. And the way that I've put it over the years is of back when I worked in corporate America, most of the companies differentiated themselves as we're better because we suck less. And I don't think that that's really acceptable, that the only reason why I chose Comcast over AT&T or AT&T over Comcast, I'm not making any judgments at all here, is that Comcast sucked last or AT&T sucked last, reach out and touch someone. I'm not saying any of that. What we want to do is, what is the better way to actually manage this if you have, I don't know, even one location, but let's say you've got 100 locations, you've got all these internet circuits out there, you've got different firewalls, you've got different contract dates with every one of them. I don't think that the best way to continue to manage your internet providers in a world of mediocrity, where internet falls on the top, it falls in the top five worst industries as far as customer service, and I believe it comes in third. So I don't know what the top two are. Maybe it's like insurance or something. I don't know, but I know that internet comes down in the top third. So what this is what we're talking about today. Consolidating outcomes, using an aggregator, which is what you guys are. I don't know if you term yourselves an aggregator, but I'll let you guys basically explain. Okay, what the heck is an aggregator and why should everyone be using an aggregator even if you had one location?
Yeah. I don't know, Jeff, you want to take that?
Yeah, well, Phil, you know, we're excited to be on here with you today. There's, I think, a couple of ways to look at it. You know, one, I think for every IT leader that we talk to that has multiple locations, the pain points are multiple carriers to manage, multiple account managers to call, multiple bills to review. And typically, when you have multiple carriers, you essentially, in our experience, have a reactive environment from a management perspective, right? So your circuit goes down, you're calling into the carrier, you're telling the carrier, hey, look, my circuit's down, I want to open a ticket. So what we see from an aggregation perspective is to eliminate all those pain points, right? So we can manage the last mile carriers. So regardless of where you are, whether it's nationally or globally, we can consolidate all those carriers and we can manage them through one point of contact and then consolidate all that billing into one invoice.
I can already tell that Jeff's going to be the more political player on this call. Can we make this politically incorrect really quick? Can we make this more fun? You're not allowed to answer anymore. Okay, sorry, you're done. No, I'm joking. I love you. But what Jeff's saying is like right now, most of you are calling 1-800-GO-POUND-SAND. You're calling 1-800-AT&T, press 1, press 2, press 3. Hey, our circuit's down. Didn't you know? Oh, we didn't know our circuit's down. Can you do a trace route? It's hopping. Oh, the circuit's hopping. Oh, okay. Like, can we just be like a cool internet service provider? And like, Clinton, translate for him. Translate what? Translate the non-political, I've got to represent AirSpring correctly here answer. And then hopefully you don't get fired.
Well, I mean, you know, the name aggregator really is self-explanatory, right? It's like we're an entity that takes many things and puts them together, right? For the sake of elegance, right? And ease of management. You go through a single aggregator and you get access to hundreds of underlying providers, right? So you've got this economy of scale that you can work with via the relationships with that aggregator. They've already got the relationships with all these connectivity providers. And we put everything together, commingle everything together into a single contract and an invoice. And you've got all of the personnel, the professional personnel on the back end with that company to help assist you with that migration. So it's like, you know, it's one back to pat, one throat to choke, you know, one throat to slice. And that really is, the crux of what it is to be an aggregator. We're still dealing with all these individual entities out there, right? But we've taken away the hard work from our agents of having to deal with all of that, right?
And just so everyone kind of understands like who we're talking with. So I put together for the people inside the community and for CTOs, CIOs, VPs, my thing has always been about special teams. It's not really always like, hey, who's the best mm-hmm. company or who's whatever. It's who you know on the inside and who can help you. Correct. So Jeff has been a superstar for us from the standpoint of he'll do all the hard work for you. You've got a crap ton of bills and stuff that we need to sift and sort through and we need to price out different things. And I've got 100 locations spread out across the United States. Maybe I'm a logistics firm. Maybe I'm a retail, something in the retail space. Maybe it's healthcare. Maybe it's rural healthcare, multi-locations across rural healthcare. And you've got to deal with a spin number and you've got to deal with different grant process and all this type of stuff. Jeff will help you and work with your team and work with the AirSpring team to take all of that information, find out what the best delivery method is for a fiber circuit, an internet circuit, a coax circuit, a tertiary satellite, what do we call Musk's thing again.
That's called
Starlight. Thank you, Starlight. Yeah. Whatever it is, or LTE backup, secondary backup, whatever it is. Take all of that, cut it up, slice it up, tell you every which way that this can be delivered. And the beauty of AirSpring is they buy the circuits wholesale and run it across their own network so they can manage and monitor it for you.
Well, and I think
that's kind of why we talked about that, is because if your circuit goes down, you shouldn't be calling the provider to let them know their circuit's down. You should be getting a notification from, say, the aggregator, AirSpring in this case, saying, hey, we noticed your circuit's down. We opened up a ticket for you. Here's the number of that ticket. We're on it.
Right.
Right.
I think too, AirSpring, as well as the way we bundle in, different solutions within the delivery of internet, because, everything, the cloud, I like to say no connectivity, no cloud, right? You got to get there. You got to get to the destination so you can utilize those resources and connectivity. So, the cloud basically rides on the back of the beast of a connectivity elephant, right? Because if you can't get there, you can't use the resources. And so the thing I love about AirSpring and in my position as director of solutions engineering is that I get to talk to customers, agents, you, folks like you, and talk to them about building a better network, building a better WAN, not just the cost of getting connectivity up to the, connecting to the internet, but how to stay connected, right? Using disparate connectivity technologies like Starlink and some of the other wireline and wireless connectivity options. And using them in concert, right, to maintain connectivity to that precious cloud that everybody's trying to reach. And I think that that's really the thing that when I approach agents and I approach end users, is that's what I like to talk about. Anybody can sell an internet connection. They sell you 1 gig, 10 gig, 40 gig, whatever you want, right? But how are you going to stay connected? I mean, everybody's talking about path protection, link aggregation, and all these other technologies that work in concert with just simply getting connected to the internet. But how do you stay connected, right? That's the thing, building that better network. And so that's what I think my team brings to the table in concert with Jeff's thought leadership, is that we come and we say, well, look, okay, great. That's what you're asking us to price out. But what is your end goal? What are you really trying to accomplish as a vertical? And what's important to you? Is it just simply connecting to the internet fast? Or is it connecting to the internet fast and staying connected? And usually the answer for me is we want to stay connected, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think also, with every opportunity that Clinton is on with me for my business, it's talking about the right now need and then the long-term strategy plan, right? Where you need to be today and where you need to, where you're going down the road tomorrow, right? And we do a really good job at really locking in with our clients long-term with that.
Right. And Phil, sometimes we are chastised about the amount of information that we ask for, because, thought leadership is just not something that people throw around, right? But businesses are really looking for their partners, their vendor partners, to provide them with thought leadership. I mean, if you fell down before walking through this particular, place that we're about to go through, can you tell us where the hole is, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe there's some things that you're aware of that you can help us avoid. And that's really what thought leadership is, right? We've already made the mistakes, or by experience, we've made the mistakes, and we could tell you how not to make those same mistakes and give you information about what we've learned as we've journeyed through those same, through those same things. And that's what thought leadership is to me, helping customers understand how not to make mistakes, even when they seem to think they know where they're going, right? Or they do know where they're going, they may not have encountered this particular issue that they're heading for. And again, thought leadership for me is to warn the client, what they're about to get into, and then give them the factual evidence as to why, and then try to steer them around that to help make a better decision about their.
Let's have a little deeper, maybe like nerdier conversation. Let's just talk a little bit more about some of the benefits that you would get from an aggregator that you might not get if you're managing every single provider by yourself, or if you've got a procurement department buying in this type of stuff. Obviously, they get you, Clinton. Maybe you have an advanced or Visio drawings, things that you can put together, or cloud orchestration, highways to Azure, whatever, Google Cloud, AWS. What are some of the benefits of working specifically with AirSpring when it comes to multi-carrier orchestration, cloud, a co-terminus contracts would be beautiful, consolidated billing or billing that comes in a codec that matches the CFO's spreadsheet. I mean, there's a lot of benefits there. But I don't pick one.
Mm-hmm. And we're definitely willing to work with our customers and our agents to make sure that there's parity in how they're used to absorbing information. And so if they have specific site codes and things like that, if they have a requirement for consolidated billing, those are the verbose conversations that we have with these folks up front to make sure that we give them what they need in the back end. But, you know, all of those things, right? I mean, it's just so much easier for a company like AirSpring, who has spent the past 22 years developing the systems, the processes, the personnel, the culture, to help make agents' lives so much easier, right? We've been doing this for a long time, and we really do think that we have the secret sauce to help agents become successful and to alleviate and to take a lot of the stuff off of their plate, right? That mitigates their ability to be successful.
Just so you know, like the group that you're speaking to right now, too, that's in this community is about mm-hmm. 120 CTOs and CIOs. So it's all people at companies that are 200 to say 10,000 users, which I think is a perfect mm-hmm. fit for you guys.
Yes, absolutely. We take them all sizes, right? I mean, you know, there's no need to be greedy. We have enough to feed the needy, right? We deal with small businesses and even enterprises too. And that's the beauty of it. A lot of folks focus on particular verticals and particular size businesses, but we feel like this technology and the ability of businesses to show the most value that they can to their customers is our ultimate goal. It doesn't matter how small or how big they are, right?
Can we talk a little bit about managing the network and maybe what are some of the things that you've done that are considerably helpful to a network administrator or CTO managing a pretty massive network with, say, 50 to 100 locations and various different on-ramps to the cloud? Maybe they're worried about DR. Maybe they're worried about any number of things. Where do you come in?
Well, as a network aggregator, we come in many different ways, right? Again, the network is the piece that gets folks, you know, again, to these resources in a secure manner. All right, so a lot of customers that we encounter don't even have viable network infrastructures in place currently, right? And the ones that do.
Any examples, use cases would be great.
They may have a bunch of IPsec VPNs that they're using to as their WAN technology, right?
Great. What else?
They don't necessarily have the vision. They don't have the vision into the applications and the traffic behavior. They connected their locations together, but they don't have the forensics insight, right, into how the applications are behaving across this network to modify it, to make it better, to shore it up. It's just up, it's running, and deal with the latency ping, hairpins, and everything else because you don't know forensically that this stuff is happening. The solutions that AirSpring brings to the table all have the administrative, the views, right? The GUIs, the Florida managers, you can even talk about the AirSpring ITSM air control that pull that information, right? That forensics information from the network and how it's performing and presenting it in quote unquote single pane of glass for folks of all different levels of technological understanding to be able to use and make salient decisions about how to augment or to scale back even certain sections of the network. And that's the thing, the forensics, the information that gives the customer, right, and AirSpring, the ability to make good decisions about where to go next, to make a decision about what it is that we think they may need. Without that forensics data, it's really hard outside of, you know, end users complaining about things not working well, right, to determine where the next shore up is required. You know, what applications are actually having issues? Your routing infrastructure, right? Your routing period, right? Maybe that's kludgy. And so all those forensics give you vision into that so that you can, AirSpring and the customer can make good decisions together and, you know, as a partner, right, for making things, for helping these businesses move and engage their digital transformation, right? All these different things that they're looking to accomplish. So,
I mean, I know it sounds expensive. Okay, it sounds expensive. And I'm sure a lot of people out there listening are thinking, sounds like this could be expensive. But you know what's expensive is old networks. Like if we go to like, say, Trinity, like what we did with Trinity Healthcare, right? They're on an old, antiquated, single-threaded MPLS,
oh, yeah,
some kind of hub and spoke belt to a headquarters.
It was worse than that. Yeah.
Right. I mean,
yeah.
It was, I think we, did we migrate from, did they migrate from?
We took them from
Meraki. Yeah, we went Meraki to Fortinet or something like that.
Fortinet, right. And gave them gave them a fully connected and resilient SD-WAN overlay infrastructure that gets their people to and from their the resources that they need to do their jobs, and also gives them, path resiliency, link redundancy, and all these other benefits that SD-WAN brings to the table.
Amazing. They're
like pretty happy campers.
I think we like 10x or 100x their through network speeds, fully meshed their network.
Yeah.
Completely forklifted an entire Fortinet hybrid management, right? So that, you know, if you do want to manage your entire Fortinet network, go ahead. I mean, I know you guys will let them do that, but if you want an extra little bit of extra help, don't you guys have like one of the largest Fortinet benches of certification people or something like that?
As a matter of fact, we do. Yeah, in order for us to get our the status that we have with Fortinet, we had to, I think you have to have 50 plus engineers that are certified NSC 3, 4, and above, I believe, in order to get that sort of a status with Fortinet. And we do. We have well over 60 engineers that all have, that are all certified with Fortinet, NSC 3, NSC 4s, various levels of NSC certifications. We do have that. So we have a depth of bench on the back end that really understands this technology. I'm looking at my little lab right over here. I've got I got a couple of 60s configured in HA. I've got some Forti switches. I play around with Forti Link. I'm in the Forti OS and I'm making changes, for my own local network. And so that gives me a place to practice, right, and to absorb more and more about this information. So as new things come out, I can test, I can prove them, and again, it just only makes me a better thought leader when it comes to this technology.
You might top Fortinet guru on YouTube. You might even beat.
I don't think guru. So. I actually used that guy. He's pretty good.
Fortinet guru. We got shout out to Fortinet guru. Greg, make sure we tag Fortinet guru on this when we release it, okay?
Yeah.
Shout out to Fortinet guru. Yeah, don't buy your Fortinet stuff from him. No, buy your Fortinet stuff here. If you're going to buy Fortinet stuff, you can buy direct through Fortinet guru.
Right.
You could go pay cash and you will get sent a box. But here's the beauty of what we did back to kind of, here's the thing. So here's the executive speak. Here's the executive roundtable speak for everyone out there listening. We forklifted an entire network, like got them off an old MPLS, which that's not hard. That's kind of like, we kind of hope for like, if you're on MPLS still, call us today. We'll save you.
Only MPLS. MPLS is still a viable. It's still a great
band. But I mean, everything, the general massive networks are still running on MPLS. But if you're like, I don't know how to say this in a simple fashion, a small to medium-sized business running an MPLS, like with like, you know, point-to-point VPNs, like you don't need that, right? You don't need to be paying like $600 for a 3-meg circuit MPLS. Like, I think that's what it came down to. I was like, okay, rather than that, why not forklift SD-WAN, leverage Fortinet, have 100-meg fiber circuit coming into every location and do all this. And I think we saved them 60.
It's quite a bit of money.
It was like $1.63 million. Mm-hmm. It was something ridiculous. Plus gave them an entire network upgrade, increased internet speed, and gave them an entire company to manage and monitor. And actually, I think eventually they'll be on coterminous contracts at some point. But to me, that's the big sell.
Right.
With an aggregator. Yeah. Why not get so much more
Lower
for the same or less price. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
And that, now they're adding a POTS replacement for their security lines.
POTS replacement.
Oh boy.
Let's translate on that. What does that mean for all you IT guys out there that have never been in telecom? Plain old telecom lines. You've got some bills coming in from AT&T or Verizon or something, and they're like $75 for one copper line that sits in an elevator. Well, an elevator somewhere. You don't need to do that.
Well, when the FCC made a lot of the decisions, they gave a lot of power to the incumbents that are still delivering copper, and they basically said, "Hey, look, we get how expensive this infrastructure is to maintain for you guys, right? I mean, circuit switching is a thing of the past. We really need to go to a packet-based, network solution for data networks as well as voice networks." And this stuff is really just keeping us from surfing the envelope, right? And getting on the edge of technologies, because people are going to buy this stuff as long as it's available. And it's kludging up the networks. It's two different things to manage. It's this, this aging copper infrastructure that is, that's impacted by, things like force majeure and other things, right? And copper really isn't that great. I mean, it rusts. And so you got this infrastructure out there that's just like falling apart, and the carriers and the FCC said, "Hey, you guys can charge what you want for this infrastructure now, right? Because we understand how difficult it is for you guys to maintain, contrary to the fiber optic and the networks that are built on light." And so what's happening is that these POTS lines are now going up ridiculously in value. There are some places in California, Phil, where a POTS line costs $300 or DS0, right? For a POTS line. Exactly. And it's because
RDA 11.
Because the FCC said, "Hey, you can charge what you want because we get it." And so that's really the impetus. And a lot of these businesses now are starting to see those bills increase, and they're going, "Whoa, right? How do we get out of this mess?" Almost a day late and a dollar short, because the FCC has been telling everybody, "Hey, you might want to do something about this now, 2 or 3 years ago." But we understand how businesses move, right? They're like these, they're brontosauruses, right? It's really hard for them to turn around, right, and change direction. And it's not just because of the business's sizes. It's also because of the personnel that are within those. Not everybody is an innovator, right? You may be an IT person, working in the IT department of a business, but that doesn't make you an innovator, right? And that doesn't
mean you have time to go to the CFO or HR department and say, "Hey, can you give me all the bills and the POTS lines?"
Yeah.
And you have a whole 2 days to sit down and go through 20 pages for one phone line on each phone line and correlate it with something else, and then know how to call up again 1-800-GO-POUND-SAND and do all of that. Whereas, which brings me to Jeff. I've called you numerous times after 5 o'clock at, I don't know, is it your son's baseball game or wherever you're at? And I'm very sorry for doing that. But the point is we have a really great team, and maybe speak just for a few seconds, because I mean, obviously Clinton has the brains of the technical end and everything, but what about just bird dogging installations and what about just operations and everyday general support?
Yeah, I can add to that. I think if I wanted to go back real quick to the benefits, and then that can lead into the support from day zero, day one, day two, which we really focus a lot of our efforts on. But you said CIOs and CTOs, and the ones that I speak to, whether they're nationwide, multi-location business, whether it's global, multi-location businesses. It almost always starts with what is my inventory, right? What do I have at these locations? Very often we don't know, right? When are they out of contract? Are they coming out of contract? Are they going month to month when they auto renew? Are they going 12 months? Are those carriers sharing with you any new lesser price points, or are they just auto renewing for the same? Or are they gouging you and increasing the circuit rates or whatever the product rates is? So our team initially, with this type of pain point for these leaders, is to come in and help them understand what their environment is or what their inventory is when they're coming out of contract. We'll do that for customers. We'll through LOAs, we'll assign team members on the ops side to work with the underlying carriers then build those contract end dates so you can create a phased rollout plan. But a lot of times, like this day-to-day minutia, IT leaders just don't have the time for it because they're just nailed down with so many other initiatives. They just can't get to that. So we see a lot of that where we can come in and we can really just help clean up and be a part of that team right out of the gate. And it's the same for billing. You know, a lot of times I've had literally customers on calls say, I don't even know what I'm paying for anymore. And I just cut the check, right? So we really help understand what their spend is, so if they're getting gouged with carrier makeup fees, and really try to get, you know, standardized billing across all locations for them to make it easy to stay on top of and manage. But I, you know, for me, you know, one of the main reasons why I came to AirSpring is because of the operational teams and leadership that we have in place. You know, for many years, I was a director of operations for a big carrier in Boston. And you know, so I'm an ops guy by heart. So I tend to wear my operations hat. And I really wanted to vet AirSpring on the operations side because a lot of carriers can have that inconsistency, whether it's inexperienced reps or inexperienced leaders. And it just creates a bad experience for the customer. So for me, I was able to really dig in with our leadership, really led by Russ Shipley, our COO, who was TPX COO for years. Very knowledgeable guy, very deep critical thinker, and very hands-on. He really created the day zero, day one, day two support to really help with these IT leaders and their team offload all of that day-to-day stuff where it comes from, you know, strategy and design or deployment and implementation to really help offload a lot of the time, people, and resources it takes for these IT teams.
Let's just go through a couple of scenarios, though. Like, let's say, what's the typical scenario that any IT leader is going to deal with on a daily basis? That the internet's down at a certain location, or there's packet loss, or things are slowing down, or I'm on vacation and we need to make a change to XYZ firewalls. I'm just trying to think. Or here's even the bigger one. We need to roll out these three new locations, or there's new construction here. There's no address here. Just, I know you guys have like probably like the number one like wholesale relationship with AT&T or something. Maybe just kind of break down how you guys actually do better and how you would deal with those. So circuits down, you know what I mean? Like, how are you guys going to help anyone else over, say, there with Comcast or with anyone else? What's the differentiator?
There's big benefit you get from coming from us. And whether it's one location where you get an account manager assigned to your account, the first big benefit you get is you go from a reactive environment going direct with an AT&T, Verizon, Comcast, whoever it is, right? You're not going to, if you're a single location business or you're a small, medium-sized business, very rarely are the big carrier's going to give you an account manager. You're going to call into a queue. Like, you're going to know your circuit's down because you're down. You're calling into the big carrier. You're getting pushed around from queue to queue to queue. You know, you don't know who you're talking to. You know, it's 45 minutes, I think, for the average, you know, SMB person to get something resolved from a first call to the big carrier. With us, you get away from the big carrier. If you have a managed router with us, you've now created a proactive management environment, right? So your circuit goes down, our NOC knows that. We immediately open a ticket. Whether you tell us, you predetermine with us how you want to be notified. Is it through an email distribution list? Is it calls? Typically, it's an email distribution. We'll say, hey, circuit's down at location X in Texas. We've opened the ticket. We're working with the underlying carrier. And then through our portal, you know, we've got a lot of the back and forth between us and the carrier. So you can essentially, as a customer, see the communication going on between us and the underlying carrier. So that's the first big pain point we take away from any size customer, going from a reactive environment to a proactive environment. But I don't know if you want to add anything to that before we keep talking about it.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what I always say. If you've got pain points that you're aware of, you always want to add them into the conversation, so that they can be discussed and possibly addressed if the technology allows. My thing is always build a better network. Don't complain about contingencies not being there, right? I got no failover, I got that. Build it, right? I mean, you know, get the people involved, like an AirSpring, and make that an initiative, right? Make it an initiative for your business to resolve those things. because there are, again, there are people out there like Airspring with the thought leadership to help alleviate those issues. A lot of times what happens is it's about budget. Or again, when I was talking about, IT leadership, not necessarily interested in breaking things, right? Just to make things better, right? Sometimes it's easier, the monster you know is better than the one you don't know. And then, you know, there may be some, some concern about not understanding the technology. I've had to explain SD-WAN, software defined wide area networking, and how it sits in the pillar of, as one of the many pillars of SASE, and explain to them exactly what that means. And so it doesn't necessarily, just because somebody's in the IT field doesn't mean they understand this stuff or even where to go.
But that's what we're here for.
That is what we are here for. Just reach out. Save yourself the embarrassment or whatever, because we don't hold anything against anybody. And we are here to help you resolve your problems. And again, just the mindset should be of just build it better. If it's what you need, then build it. We have a lot of different challenges, Phil, with regards to budgets and prices and sizes and cultures.
How about security? I want to talk about security, but just scaling securely, because you mentioned SD-WAN, and there's a lot of different SD-WAN providers. There's obviously the Broadcom of the world, which is...
It's Arista. Well, yeah, Broadcom. Actually, VeloCloud was sold to Arista. Yeah.
Okay. But either way, we've got Cato Networks. We've got the Fortinet stuff. What kind of... how can you help people scale more securely, or how can you help them with security? And from the SD-WAN standpoint, there might be just a few really important bullet points that, for example, getting around the Chinese firewall. Like, I know you guys have a partnership with Cato, correct?
Yes, we do. We do have a partnership with Cato, and we use Cato in many different, in many interesting ways.
Yeah. I mean, they've been one of the best for getting around the Chinese firewall. So you've got something on you've got manufacturing mainland China or Hong Kong and throughout Thailand and stuff. They've been very, very good at basically helping your old VPN connections not go down. But from just like if you were to go in with and you were just to ask someone, hey, what's your security strategy? From what standpoint can Airspring help out?
From the networking perspective. There's all security runs the gamut, right? I mean, every single thing on the wire, right? Even things that are communicating with the wire wirelessly are a part of the footprint, right? They're a part of that fabric that can be compromised. So there are businesses, there are verticals, and there are businesses that work with the actual client device, right? They secure the actual device itself, right? Airspring is a network aggregator. We provide network security, right? We can get you to your resources and we can get you to your destination securely, right? But once you get there, now what, right? And so we leverage our technologies like Cato, which is Cato is an amazing, they're an amazing vendor as well. And we do partner with them. They have a great single vendor, a SASE solution that is just taking the technology world by storm. The latest Gartner shows them in the Magic Quadrant, right, as a leader, and they continue to progress in that manner because they really do have a fantastic solution that protects endpoint protection, the actual devices themselves to the destinations, right, and how those devices and the people behind them can interact once they reach those locations. So as far as like security is a big deal, right? And it goes simply beyond the areas that Airspring provides security in, again, which is network security. It is networking security. If you're looking to secure devices and endpoint protection, we also offer that as well through Cato. But again, it's a very broad, area exactly. Things secure. And not
we're not asking you to come in and go pen testing. We're not having you do pen testing or anything.
And not all companies can do all things, right? So, you know, this idea that there is actually one place to go for absolutely everything is incorrect. And so, depending on what it is that you're trying to achieve as a business in terms of your security, you might have to leverage multiple vendors in order to make that happen, because there really is no single vendor that addresses all aspects of a business's security requirements. They just don't exist.
I'm leaving this up to you guys now. We can, you guys can take this away with whatever you guys want to talk about next. I mean, it's been a pleasure having you on. It's been a lot of fun. What do you guys want to talk about? Is there anything that we haven't hit on that people must know? Are we giving away anything free for anyone listening on the show today, Jeff? What can we give away for free?
We get an Amazon gift card for $100.
Okay. For what? What do we do? What do we get for $100 Amazon gift card? That's pretty good. What are we doing?
That's a good question.
Maybe
we'll give it to whoever joined first.
For whoever wants, how about this? Whoever wants to sit down and have Jeff review all your bills and your security payment and basically give price out all your internet circuits, whether it's 50 to 1,000 locations, we will do that for you. And you'll get a $100 Amazon gift card. And it's kind of like a first come, first serve. So
reference this podcast. You have to reference this podcast.
You must reference Phil Howard. Jeff, what's your email? You must reference Phil. You must say, I heard about you from Phil Howard. And Jeff's email is, can we give out your email? Are we allowed to do that?
Yeah. Jeff.armstrong@airspring.com.
Jeff, J-E-F-F. Armstrong. Arm, like the arm bar, and then strong, like strong arm you. So get the strong arm. It's like, it works that way. Strong arm. It's backwards. Armstrong. Jeff.armstrong@airspring. That's A-I-R-E, correct?
Right.
Spring, S-P-R-I-N-G. I want a black, awesome golf shirt like Clinton's wearing.
There you go.
We got one.
I thought you were going to say you need a black, awesome guy, but you know.
There's somebody out there listening right now that needs that too. So for a $50 Amazon gift card.
Yeah, even cheaper.
We just got HR. Can you cut that? This episode is not approved. This episode is... anything else? We got anything else? Guys, is there anything that we have not covered?
I mean,
we've done a lot of good things with you guys. Trinity was one. We saved ton of money with those guys. We've done a bunch of little, like whether you got 3 locations, 5 locations, and you want to upgrade your fire. Here's the thing about the firewall. This is the one thing we forgot about: the Fortinet upgrades. If you are looking at Fortinet right now, just let AirSpring be your second set of eyes. I'm not saying you have to use them. I'm not saying you do that. Just let them be your second set of eyes, because most likely you're staring down a pretty big CapEx charge. Okay. And this is where you can sound really good in front of the CFO. I'm like, hey, let's look at an OpEx. Let's look at an OpEx as well. And by the way, we also saved money. We also say, and EBITDA, we got to keep EBITDA. And you got to throw EBITDA out there every now and then. Throw EBITDA, CapEx, OpEx. Let's throw in some, I don't know, gross margin somewhere, operating costs, and flow through to the bottom line. Just start talking like that in front of the CFO, but make it make sense, and we'll help you make it make sense.
And look, I had to say this too, so if I can add that, you know, Fortinet, the Fortinet ecosystem is not easy to navigate, right? Fortinet has a very broad field of different products and services it's a pretty broad portfolio.
It's like Microsoft. Like, you can't expect yourself to know every Microsoft SKU either.
And what I've experienced is that folks are, well, I can go out and get this one, you know, I can get this firewall for $50 less. And we go, okay. And then they do that and they realize that there's a lot more to a firewall than just simply buying it. Right.
Configuration, turn up, sending it out, managing, monitoring it, all of that stuff, which wouldn't you love? AirSpring's bench of how many people? How many people do we have benched?
Over 60 people. And not only that, too.
What do you play? Forward, guard, right bench on the Fortinet bench? What do you play?
Quarterback. So it ends up costing a lot more than just the cost of the firewall, right? It ends up costing you, in terms of just security posture, penalties for, you know, not passing penetration tests, and all kinds of other things, too, because you have to harden these things based on your vertical. Not all compliance is for everybody. And you really have to understand, what elements of the firewall you need to lock down to meet compliance for your particular vertical. And so, those are all things.
Hardcore Fortinet guy.
Well, yeah.
You're that hardcore Fortinet guy. Listen. Here's the point, though. Here's the point. AirSpring might be able to save you enough money on the internet circuit side because you've been ignoring the POTS lines and all that crap that you're getting charged for years. You probably haven't looked at it in years because the circuits just keep coming up and auto-renewing. We'll take a look at all the circuits, just your second set of eyes, not asking anything. Just let them be your second set of eyes. They'll price it all out. And then there may be enough savings there that's actually going to pay for your Fortinet upgrade because they can do the Fortinet on a zero capex methodology. Whereas maybe you were looking at purchasing that firewall where the money that they just saved you on the circuit, they just layer in the Fortinet on for, I don't know, 15, 20 bucks a month, whatever model it is. They layer that in on a no capex. Then if you ever spill a cup of coffee on it, don't tell them you did that. They're going to send another one out for you. If it just breaks or something like that, they're going to send another one out. Let's say you need HA. You might need high availability. So get another, throw that in there on top of it as well. And then guess what? You never have to worry about end of life. Because when stuff comes end of life, there's just going to be the new Fortinet model and you're already paying for it. And guess what? You've already made that initial sale to your executive management board, whatever, however you need to do it anyways. So you've gone from something that's going to depreciate to something that's always going to be, hopefully, what's the word for it? Not best of breed. We've said that before. Top of whatever, the most up to date. I don't know. The other thing is you're not going to have to pay licensing fees. How about relevant? How about licensing fees? Do you avoid licensing fees? Because you guys are taking care of that. What about the Fortinet?
Absolutely.
What about that? Yep, you guys are going to hide
all the administrative. Yep, all the administrative components, the FortiManager, FortiPortal, FortiAnalyzer. Those are all things that you would have to either adopt via FortiCloud or you have to purchase them yourself and then pay somebody with the proper certifications to administrate them.
We should have started.
We take care of all that stuff. And Phil, we are adopting the FortiSASE. We're adopting FortiSASE. We've already got SD branch, FortiWiFi, you know, with firewall switches and access points. We configure, we deliver, we configure, and we manage that stuff. And we're also expanding our Fortinet offerings to also include FortiSASE as well. So stay tuned. In the next few months, we're going to be offering the full FortiSASE portfolio.
That to me is the big benefit. Now, obviously, some of you guys don't want, you might have be, I don't know, what do we call it? Not high maintenance. You might be control freaks. We all have the IT directors that are control freaks. That's okay. If you want to be a control freak, that's fine. Be a control freak. Mm-hmm. You don't have to let AirSpring be your hybrid Fortinet manager. Just be a control freak. But why not do a zero capex? And then there's nothing to sell to the executive management. Then it's just a presentation. It's not like you're going to ask them for $1 million. Then it's like, hey, all you're doing is a presentation at that point. Hey, just want to let you guys know. We are upgrading all of our internet speeds. We saved a ton of money. And guess what? We get a free, the firewalls are included all on a zero capex. However you word that, but it's like, we're not spending any more money. We're basically kind of, I don't know, just reconfiguring the budget and getting a bunch of new stuff. It works. I do it every day, all day. Jeff sees it all day, every day, every single day. It's just a better way to buy your network, your firewalls, and I guess POTS lines also, which we just figured out. Again, it's not Phil over the top. My friends call me POT. That's my nickname, Phil over the top. They think I go over the top with everything. I'm like, what do you mean? What do you mean I'm over the top? It's plain old telephone line is really what POTS stands for. It's been a ton of fun having you guys on. Any words of wisdom or anything for anyone out there listening?
Words of wisdom. Be prepared. Even as a buyer, right? Even as a buyer, there's a certain level of preparation that you have to have when you're engaging a seller, right? You got to have information about your network, right? VLAN, speeds, those kinds of things. I don't know how many times I come to the table and I get called to the table to have these discussions and none of that information is available during that time. So you got to come prepared too. There's a little bit of work that we all have to, there's a little bit of work some of us have to do outside a lot of the work that most of us have to do, but there's always a little bit of work that we all have to do to resolve these issues. So I say come prepared to these meetings.
Don't waste Clinton's time is basically what he's saying. He's like, don't waste my time. I come up like, hey, so how many locations? I don't know. Yeah, what do you guys got right now? Who cares? No, we just want to hear about AirSpring. Yeah. Okay, I'll hold it. Here, listen to this podcast with Phil Howard. That's like it's cool. We just solved all those meetings for you.
So my last comment would just be that customers that I deal with say that we're easy to work with. And I think that's the biggest compliment, right? People want that, right? So, this is how we talk to our prospective IT leaders for a casual conversation. So That's all we could ever ask for.
Right.
Appreciate it, guys. Been a lot of fun having you on.
Same here, Phil. It's always a pleasure.